John chapter 4 this evening, John chapter 4, and we're going to talk about, as I've been studying for these messages, one of the things that God has impressed on my heart is the will of God. And one of the things that I think we're missing today is people don't know how to find the will of God for their life, because they're looking for the will of God for their life instead of simply trying to find the will of God. So it's this whole mindset of I want to insert God's plan somewhere in my plan instead of finding out what God's plan is and inserting yourself into God's plan. The will of God may not be in some foreign land. It may not be in another state. It may be right here. And one of the things that I've noticed since I've been pastoring, we interject a lot of our own philosophy as preachers, and sometimes it's not biblical philosophy. I'll give you an example. I've heard it said often, you know, well, God's called you to preach. He doesn't expect you to sit on a church pew. You ought to be somewhere preaching. I agree with that to a sentiment. In other words, in the local church, there's many things to do. There's nursing homes to preach in. There's jails to preach in. There's children's ministries to preach in. But a lot of times we have in our mind that if I'm not behind the pulpit somewhere full time or traveling or a church planter somewhere, and I heard a guy say that. He said what these young preachers need to realize is God calling to preach. They need to go somewhere. I said, well, that's not necessarily God's plan. If you look at Paul, the apostle, look at all the support people that God put in his life. And when they were ready, you look at Timothy and Titus, when they were ready, God used them. But sometimes men need to be in that place of learning. Sometimes, now I don't know about you, I don't know many people today, I don't know any, to be honest with you, that is named in the Word of God. But I do notice that Barnabas is mentioned in the Word of God, and he was Paul's right-hand man, traveled with Paul much of the time. And so the will of God is doing what God has for us to do, not necessarily doing it where we want to do it. Good preaching. So look at John chapter 4, verse number 34 this evening, and we're going to look at doing God's will. The Bible said in John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat. Notice that, isn't that interesting that he uses the word meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so if you look at this scripture, he had just spoken with the woman, just performed a miracle in her life. And the Bible says in verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And that's when Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of them. So here's what he's saying. I need the only thing that is going to sustain me, the thing that nourishes me, the thing that I'm in need of, is not physical meat. It is my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You see what I'm saying? It's necessity. So in his life, the will of God was not a trivial thing. The reason he came to earth was to die on the cross. And so the whole purpose of Jesus' earthly ministry was to go from Bethlehem to Calvary. And so when we look at that, he's in essence saying that the thing that I'm most needful of, the thing that will sustain me and nourish me and provide for me, is that I do the will of God. Now, think about how different that is today. We want to interject God's will in our life somewhere, or we want to pray what we want and say, God, make this your will. And we've got it backwards, right? So it should be the desire of every Christian to do the will of God. I mean, once we're saved and we're left here to do a work, it's not the work I choose, it's the work God wants me to do. And so I promise you this, you could probably ask Brother Fry early on in his evangelistic ministry after pastoring a church for many years, there's probably a side of him that was saying, you know what, the pastorate is a whole lot more stable than evangelism. And there may have been times traveling down the road, he said, man, it sure was nice to be able to preach on Sunday night, go get in my bed in my house
and eat at my kitchen table and get up the next morning knowing, I'm going to go to the hospital to visit my church members. So you see, there's that stability there. But he also knew that his time of doing that was finished. And God had a different direction for his life. So it's not about choosing what we want to do and saying, okay, God, somehow make this your will. It is finding the will of God, and not so much finding the will of God for your life, but finding the will of God and inserting yourself where God wants to use you. Amen? And so some have made the will of God so difficult, hardly anyone can figure it out. You know how many times I've talked to people and prayed with people and they say, I'm trying to find the will of God for my life. And for years and years and years, they have no clue what God wants them to do. They're looking for something a little more complex than what they know to do in the Word of God. And really, if we won't do what God tells us in His Word, how can He trust us with a more complex plan than a simple plan if we won't do the simple? Amen? So it was the desire of Jesus that His life be spent doing the will of God. In other words, it starts with the right attitude and the right desire. Now, you getting saved, God saving you from hell, is not the end all of your life. It is the beginning of your life. And the moment you accepted Christ, you started on a journey with Him, and that journey is to do the will of God in your life. That is how we please God. We have all this idea about, well, if I go to church, if I tithe, that can be part of the will of God, but that is not why you were left here. You were left here, and I was left here to do the will of God, to perform what He wants us to perform for the glory of God. Now you think about this in your life, and maybe people you know, how many people honestly are doing that today? Very few. Very few. So, if we follow Christ, we will want to do the will of God. The farther from God we get, the less we want to do His will. The closer we get to Him, the more we're in love with Him, the more we're enamored with Him, the more in awe we are of Him, and the more we want to please Him, right? So, what are the obstacles in finding and doing the will of God? It'd be a good message if you'll hang with me. Simple. But it'll be good. Some obstacles, some roadblocks for us doing the will of God, okay? Number one is this. We ask the wrong question. We ask the wrong question. So, when you ask the wrong question, what do you get? The wrong answer, right? When you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. So, we have to make the will of God the highest priority. Not a priority, the highest priority. So number one, we ask the wrong question, okay? And in that we ask the wrong question, the reason we do it is because we have to make it the highest priority. Let me ask you this. Is the will of God the highest priority in your life? Jesus considered God's will to be His highest priority. Everything He did was because of the will of God. The will of God was for Him to die on Calvary, to die in the place of you and me, to die for your sins and mine. That was the plan of God. So every step that He took, everywhere that He went, every miracle He performed was in the path to accomplish the will of God. And it wasn't, watch this, it wasn't just the will of God for His life. It was the will of God for your life. Because if Jesus would not have died on the cross, you and I would be doomed. So the will of God is not just simply about me. It's about His plan for the whole world. We realize that the plan of God is to redeem mankind. That's why He died. To bring us back in right standing with God. So the will of God for my life is not really that important. What's important is the will of God. You with me? There's a big difference. So, God's will should be important to us today. Not someday in the future, not 20 years from today. Today, on this Wednesday, July 3rd, on July 4th, the will of God should be important. On July 5th, the will of God should be. If it's not important to you today, if you're saying, I want to live my life today, and one day I'll find out the will of God, I tell you what's going to happen. Number one, you're going to be miserable. I believe, Brother Eddie, the reason so many Christians are miserable is because they do not want the will of God in their life. They want their will, and they want to put God over here in a compartment, in a box, and when they want God, they'll say, okay. Or, if you can find some way, God, to bless what I want, then it'll be the will of God for my life. Right? So if you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. We're asking the question, what is the will of God? It's God's will that men be saved. Can we agree with that? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So we realize tonight that God's will is for mankind to be redeemed. So how do you and I fit into that plan, right? How do you and I fit into the plan of God, the will of God, that mankind be redeemed? Well, I know this, you don't have to be on this side of the pulpit to accomplish God's will. It's our highest priority. But then, not only is it the highest priority, it is the highest perspective. The highest perspective. Watch this. What is God's will for my life is not the best question. Now, how many times, listen, I've been an independent Baptist for 48 years. You know how many times I've, even as a pastor, you know how many times I've had people come to me and say, preacher, I need you to help me pray about the will of God for my life. Now, Brother Matt, we are by nature selfish creatures. Huh? And so what we're asking is, I'm not so much concerned about God's big plan. I'm concerned about God's plan for me. Yep. Say amen there. I don't care necessarily if God's plan for me can help with the bigger plan, then that's okay. That's our mindset, right? But our mindset, honestly, is what's God's plan for me because I'm concerned with me. The better perspective is this. What is God's will? What does God want to accomplish? What does God want to accomplish with this church? What does God want to accomplish with you in the bigger picture? Not in your life, but in the bigger picture, in God's big plan. How are you part of that? Where does He want to plug you in at to get glory? It changes things, doesn't it? Can I help you with something? God doesn't need you. And He doesn't need me. It is our privilege to be a part of the plan of God. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Listen, if I kick the bucket tomorrow, God could put the next guy in here and take Currytown Baptist Church on to whatever level He wants to. He doesn't. Now, glad He's got me here. I'm glad He's using me, but He doesn't need me. Huh? So, when we look at it, people are naturally self-centered and we tend to view the whole world, even God's activities, in terms of our own lives. What's God's will for my life? Well, in other words, what does He want to do with me? You say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? The word me, my ministry, God's will for my life. He's the one who gives you life. So it's not God focus on me, it is God help me to focus on your plan. Help me to focus on what you want. Use me however you want to. Not long ago, I sat in my office with a man and he came in. He said, preacher, he said, I just wanted to talk to you about something. He said, me and my family are going to leave the church. He said, now get this. He said, God is leading us to another church to help the pastor with his bus ministry. And I said, so you got a heart for the bus ministry? He said, yes, sir. I said, you never drove a bus around here. You never went visiting by on a bus ride around here. So you mean to tell me that God is going to take you from here and plug you in somewhere else to do something that you could do here, but you got to do it there. He said, that's what I'm saying. And I said, you don't more, no more than a monkey know God's will for your life. If you won't do it here, you're not going to do it there. God's will is, if you want to be a part of the bus ministry, praise God for that. But you don't have to go somewhere else to do it. There's buses out there. You go get your license, go knock on some doors, run you a bus route. If it's God's will, if you're interested in God's will, see? He wasn't interested in God's will. He was interested in what he wanted to do because he was uncomfortable. He was tired of being here. There was something that ruffled his feathers, but he wanted to blame it on God and say, hey, God's leading me here. Listen, if you won't do what you say you're going to do somewhere else where you are, God's not leading you to go do it somewhere else. Amen. I mean, the will of God is the same here as it is, those churches Brother Fry was talking about in Virginia. If you won't go knock on doors here, you're not going to move to Virginia and go knock on doors. If you won't support the bus ministry here, you're not going to support it somewhere else. And if you do, then you miss the will of God. You're worried about the will of God for your life. See, you're worried about you. And so the highest perspective is not what I get out of it, the pleasure and satisfaction of God using me to do something for my glory. It is about His glory, right? It's about what He gets out of it, not what I get out of it. And so let's be honest, we live in a day where we've got a bunch of Hollywood Christians that want to make a name for themselves and talk about God's will for their life. Instead of furthering the cause of Christ, they're furthering their own cause. Our view is this: how does this affect me, and what should I do? That's our prayer. But how does if I move to Virginia, how does this affect me? How does it affect my family? How does it affect my children? How does it affect my parents and my aunts and what? I just bought a house. How's it going to affect my house? How I've got a good job. See, we want God's will, Brother Jay, but we want it where we want it. And we think an open door means it's God's will. You know what? Satan's got some keys too. So when we pray about God's will for my life, it is this: how does this affect me, and what should I do? Right? I don't want to move to Canada. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to move to Canada. I wouldn't mind going there in the summer, but about August through May, I'd want to be somewhere warmer. But see, if I'm interested in God's will, it's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. And if He can use me or use you to get glory and accomplish His will, then we're concerned about His will, not ours. So our view is, how does this affect me? The right perspective is this: I know God's will, and I will adjust my life to fit His will. Huh? See difference? Here's what I want. How does this affect me? Right? Now, the right perspective is, this is God's will. How do I adjust my life to fit God's will? What I wanted, to be straight with you, when God called me to preach, what I wanted was to stay at Yadkin Valley Baptist Church under Ronnie Craddock. I wanted to do what Brother Fry was doing, travel. Now that I'm pastor now, and I've traveled some, I'm glad God didn't make me do that. Amen. But the very first Sunday I preached at Currytown Baptist Church, God showed me this is where He wanted me. Now you say, well, yeah, preacher, look at all this. Yeah, look at all this. Let me tell you what it looked like that first Sunday. Take this section of pews and put 12 people in it. That's what it looked like. Take that sound system, throw it in the garbage, and have a tape deck. Right? You know what? When Brother Fry walked in and Miss Susan, I'm fairly certain that's not what she is going to play for offering until Brother Fry. you know how nice it is to have a piano player that can change some things up? Wasn't like that 17 years ago. I was just thankful we had a piano player. She's a sweet lady, but she didn't do like that, see? And so, here's how it turned out. I thought, here's my plan, right? Here's my plan. 5-year plan. You know, I like plans. 5-year plan, I thought we'd probably have about 50 people. I'd still be working my job I had, right? Making real good money. Then maybe after 5 years, maybe we'd run 50, 60, 70. Maybe I could cut back on my job and be more full-time pastor, right? That's my plan. You know what God's plan was? 1 year into it, hey, it's time to build a building. And oh, by the way, your boss comes to you and says you can either pastor a church or work for us, but you can't do both anymore. And we were making the big salary of $150 a week. Full time, hallelujah. That wasn't my plan. Listen, I like McDonald's hamburgers. There was a lot of Sundays. You know what our lunch was? The BP, pack of nabs and a Mountain Dew. You know what our dinner was? Pack of nabs and a Mountain Dew. So when we've got what we've got here and God's blessed us, many of y'all wasn't here for those days. See, my plan was this. God's plan was this. Whose plan was better? His. And so if you never get out of that realm of, here's what I want, God, now figure out how you can give it to me, instead of just saying, you know what, God, show me your plan, and I will adjust me to fit in your plan. You're never going to know the will of God. There's people that run from church to church, and pastors that jump from pulpit to pulpit. They never find the will of God because they get dissatisfied and they're asking for God to do something. And instead of waiting on God and maybe just being content and saying, you know what, it's not about God's will for my life. It's just about God's will. And if this is where He wants to plug me in, I'm going to be content in the Lord. They just, here, there, they're like nomads, right? So the highest perspective is this. I will adjust my life to His purpose. Amen? Get that? So once I know what God is doing, then I should see how I fit in. It may be that you fit in here. I'll give you an example. All right? Brother Matt's a young preacher in our church. No doubt in my mind, one day if he wants to pastor, he'll make a fine pastor. Jimmy Money, phenomenal associate pastor. You know what these men decide to do? Jose Panetta, one of the finest men I know, one of the hardest work. You know what these men have done? I want to plug myself in to God's will. I don't have to go somewhere else to find God's will. I can be in God's will right here until He shows me different. Stop running around and just realize that what God's going to judge us on, what God's going to reward us on, is have we been faithful to what He's told us to do, not where we do it, not how big it is where we do it. It's just simply, have I obeyed God? My focus needs to be outward on God, not inward on me. And when we say God's will for my life, we're focusing on me instead of focusing outward on God. Good preaching. Amen. So we ask the wrong question. Number two, we have the wrong quest. Okay? We have the wrong quest. In our quest, we're looking for our plans, right? Don't just stand there and do something. You know how many times I've said that? Hey, just do something even if it's wrong. Just do, you know, be busy. How many times you heard that at work? Just be busy. Even if you don't have anything to do, just do something, right? Well, there's a danger to that. All right? Our plans is, we want to be busy doing something, and doing God's will sounds exciting, right? We're busy in our plans and activities for the Lord, but we don't bother to find out what He actually wants. So we look and we'll say, okay, you know how many times we get busy in ministry activities and we don't even spend time communing with God? So we're busy about His activities. We look at our plans and we wear ourselves out and do little for the kingdom of God, but we're busy and people brag about how busy we are, but nothing's getting done. I was talking to a young man years ago and he said, "Man, I tell you what, preacher," he said, "I spend, Saturdays, I spend 10 to 12 hours up at the church." I said, "Okay, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm in my office." I said, "Okay, but what are you doing?" You know? "Ministry." "But what?" You know? We waste time and we get all this busy work. And again, sometimes you got to do some stuff that's not fun to do. Amen? That's part of ministry. That's part of life. That's part of having a house, a job. But I wonder how many times we're spinning our wheels talking about how busy we are, but we're not doing anything profitable. On the flip side, you have people that sit there and talk about what they want to do, but never do it, Brother Bobby. They never get anything done because they're too busy planning what they're going to do. So what we wear ourselves out, do little for the kingdom of God. And it's a whole lot better. Give you an example. For years and years and years, we wanted to be busy around here. I remember the first year we had a church calendar. We sat in a staff meeting and it seemed like if we had a weekend that didn't have anything in it, we was going to put something in it. I mean, just here's a Saturday. Well, let's try this. And by May, we were all wore out. And we were doing, 50 different things, 50 different outreaches, involved in everything going on, but we weren't getting anything accomplished. And so what we've tried to do, and we're continuing to learn how to do that, is to limit what we do. We're always going to knock on doors. We're always going to have an outreach ministry. We have a bus ministry, a Spanish ministry. But you know what? We're probably, unless the Lord changed their mind, we're probably not going to have a, ministry to the school system. God may lead somebody here, that's their burden. But, people come to you with all these ideas. I tell you, it would be a great idea for y'all. I'm thinking, why is it not a great idea for you? We were busy, but we weren't getting things accomplished. And so what happens is, our plans is that we want to be busy in the activity of ministry, but we may not be doing the right thing. So what we've got to figure out is not our plan, but His plans. Know Him and know what He's doing. You got to know Him. How do you know what He wants if you don't know Him, if you don't spend time with Him, if you don't fellowship with Him, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, and you're just busy? Brother Fry, there's a lot of pastors, the only time they spend time in the Word of God is getting messages together. And that's not devotion time. That's work. That's labor. That is preparing for a message. That is not you communing with God. Hey, a message can flow out of our devotion time, but our devotion time is not sermon preparation. Our sermon preparation can be a product or a fruit of our devotion time. So our relationship with Him comes first, and then we labor for what He wants done. Now, let me say this. If you really spend time with God, you ought to write this down. If you really spend time with God, it's not going to take you 5 years to get involved in the work of the ministry. You mean, I've talked to people, they look at the story of Mary and Martha. One of them was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The other one was working, working, working. Remember that? Everybody focuses on the one sitting at Jesus' feet and saying, "That's where I want to be." But if it wasn't for the other one, nobody'd be eating, would they? So it's not going to take you too long being at the feet of Jesus. He's going to tell you, hey, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. What about Ephesians 2, 10? We're created unto good works. We're His workmanship, right? We're created unto good works. So in other words, God didn't save you by His marvelous grace to sit there and just commune with the Lord all day. He wants you to commune with Him so you can go out and tell others about Him. Amen? So John 15:5 says this, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So he wants to involve us in his work, and our involvement by his invitation is a privilege and a product and produces fruit. He's inviting you into it. Now, if you guys like to fish, now, I'm not patient enough to fish, but some of you guys like to fish. And let's say, I don't know who famous fishermen are today, the best one ever was Bill Dance. I mean, Bill Dance was the man, right? I mean, Bill Dance called you up and said, "Hey, I want you to go fishing with me." Would you go? I don't even like to fish. He called me up, I'd go. He might be dead. He ain't going to call nobody. But if he's alive, he'd call you. Don't ruin my story with technicalities, all right? But if he called me up and said, "Hey, you want to go fishing?" I'd say, "Sure." I mean, that'd be an honor, right? But if I'm sitting there telling Bill Dance, who has forgotten more than I know about fishing, how I'm going to fish, then I'm missing the opportunity. If I just sit there and talk to him about fishing and I never wet a hook, I'm really not fulfilling the experience of fishing with a legend, right? You with me? He's invited me to participate in this. He's going to show me how to do it. He's going to help me do it. I would be foolish not to do it. Well, same thing with serving God. He invites you into the ministry. He's going to equip you for the ministry. He's going to show you what he wants done. But for you to say no, or "I'll do it my own way," would be like telling the great fisherman, "No, I don't need your advice. I'll do it my way." So we got to get away from our plans, and we got to get involved with his plan and just figure out where he wants to insert us in his plan. Okay? Next, and I'm done with this. We have to quit searching. Obstacles to doing God's will. Quit searching. Well, preacher, that sounds backwards to me. It does, doesn't it? What if I told you, you know, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of seminars, things that you can go to and subscribe to and read about time management. What do you think? Let me ask, what do you think the goal of time management is? It's not a trick. Just manage your time. Why? To accomplish more. That's what we think, right? But what if somebody came up with the idea of time management so you'd have more free time? Huh? That's the one I want. I don't want, you know, but most people think about time management so I can do more and plan more so I can get more done, right? In other words, when I get done with this list, I'm going to go find me some more stuff to jump on my list so I can get more done, right? But what if the idea was to get things done and to prioritize and organize your life in a way that you weren't working 14 hours a day, but you could consolidate that in 7 hours a day and have more leisure time to spend with your family or to enjoy activities. Or I like what Brother Fry said, take a nap. Right? I like that nap. You say, well, that's kind of backwards. You don't do these things so you have more free time. Well, tell you what, a lot of what I'm reading today is, that's the idea. In other words, instead of planning more so we can go find more stuff to do, it is plan more so you can have more leisure time so you're healthier to have a longer career, right? I just read a pastor friend of mine said that he's been pastoring 20 years and his church sent him on a 30-day sabbatical. Preacher, they said, "You go, you need it, 30 days, we'll take care of it, don't worry." He said, they wouldn't even let me take my phone. They said, don't take your phone. If anything happens, we'll take care of it. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know who came up with that, but I thought about letting them preach revival here. But you know what? You know what the business world is starting to see? That you can't burn the candle at both ends and have a long, prosperous career. And, you know, it's the idea of sharpening the saw. You can just keep sawing all day long, but if you don't ever stop and sharpen the blade, you're working hard, but you're not getting as much accomplished, right? So that's what I'm saying about this. It seems like for us, we're searching for the will of God. So to say quit searching is counterproductive in finding the will of God, right? Hold on, listen to what I'm saying. How do we do that? Well, first of all, do what is stated. Do what's stated, right? In other words, instead of always searching for His will, do this. Search for Him. Search for Him. It's fine to search for Him. It didn't say, search for my will while it may be found. It was to search for Him while He may be found, right? So instead of always searching for His will, search for Him. And where He is where heavenly activity is taking place. Look in the Gospels. Everywhere Jesus went, there was miracles, there was heavenly activities taking place, right? So instead of searching for God's will, why don't you search for Him and where He's at, and where He's at, get involved with what He's involved with. You know why I love missions? Because God's involved in missions. I don't like spending my money on missions. I think, well, then you're not involved. You're not plugging in where God's involved at. God's involved in missions. I mean, by definition, a missionary is someone who leaves their home to share the gospel with people of a foreign land or a foreign state or whatever. I mean, that's how we, well, is that not what Jesus did? So by definition, Jesus was a missionary. Well, if it's important to Him, it should be important to me. So where He is where there's heavenly activity. Do what we know the Bible tells us to do. This book here is pretty plain, and God is very plain in what He wants us to do. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That means go to church. Give, and it shall be given. That means give. Study to show thyself proof. That means study the Word of God. Right? So if we're not going to do the things God tells us to do that are stated in His Word, why are we searching for something we may never see? So you have people searching for the will of God, but they won't do what they know to do in the will of God, in the Bible. The Bible tells them this. They'll say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I believe God wants me to do something else. No, if you won't do this, then you don't need to search for God's will because you're never going to find it. Search the Scriptures, right? So do what is stated, and then finally do what is simple. Do what simply we know is God's will. There used to be kind of a little acrostic, you know, that people would use. They called it the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Right? Keep it simple, stupid. I was talking to a guy about investments, you know. And if you ever look at that stuff, it'd blow your mind. They talk in a whole different language. You got to short this one, and then you got to long this one, and then they start, you know, these code words, and if you just go, this guy told me, he said, if you don't understand it, don't put your money in it. Oh, that's pretty good, you know. So the example is this, when you're looking for somebody to invest your money for retirement, and you're impressed because he uses all these big words and these fancy formulas, what happens if he dies? You don't have a clue. But if you understand it, you know what's going on with your retirement, right? You keep it simple. You do what you know to do. And so if we do what we know to do, when God can trust us with a simple step, He'll reveal the next step. Well, I tell you what's going on, preacher. I'm discontent, and I got to find God's will for my life. And if I don't find God's will for my life, I can't be happy. Well, you're never going to be happy. Because when you think you won't do what you know to do, and you're wanting God to show you something way down there, and God's saying, you know what, you do this, and then I'll show you this step, and then when you take this step, then I'll show you this step, and when you take this one, I'll show you the next one. We're wanting them to show us something way down there. We're not willing to trust Him for this, right? So do what is simple. The will of God is not this complex thing. It is doing the simple things that God tells us to do. And you know what? Abraham, when he left his country, he didn't know exactly where he's going. He just obeyed God, and God showed him the next step and the next step and the next. So why can't we do that? I mean, the Lord must think pretty much quite a bit of Abraham. He puts him in the Faith Hall of Fame. So just do what you know to do is scriptural, not what you feel, right? Not what you think, but what the Bible tells you to do. And then when you take that step, then you ask God, okay, God, I don't need to know 20 years from now. I just need to know the next step. And if you'll show me that step, I'll take that step. That's simple. But we have Christians that are paralyzed spiritually because they're searching for something so extraordinary, so extravagant, so miraculous in their eyes that they can't see the miracle of God leading them in the next step. Just do the will of God. Do what you know to do. Stop searching, right? Stop searching. Search for Him, not the will of God. Quit searching. Have the right quest. Ask the right question. God, what is your will? Take me out of the equation. If I'm not here, does the will of God change? Nope. He'll use somebody else to accomplish it. But if I'm not here, the will of God does not change. It's still the same. I want to plug myself in where God tells me to plug myself into. Look at the long range of it, not just your life. Look at what God wants to accomplish and ask Him to use you to accomplish His will. And God will do it. Let's stand together. Stand together, bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you for your attention. Maybe tonight you just need to come get on the altar. And you know what? I think most people search for God's will, and their intention is right, and they're doing it for the right reason. But sometimes we just have the wrong motive. Sometimes we have the wrong method. Maybe tonight you just need to get on the altar and say, God, I want to be a part of your plan. Somehow, some way, however you choose to use me, I want to be a part of your plan, your will. And I want you to accomplish your will with me or without me. But I want to be your servant. Not about you and me, it's about Him. Whatever your need, you come. Doing God's will.